Watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's soaring cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and our sufferers' tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without alloy. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Satan.
Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Wow, what a
Satan
day.
Satan will be bound,
1,000 years will have no tempter then. After Jesus
shall come back to earth.
What a day that's going to be, saints of the Lord. What a day that's going to be. Do you know that Resurrection Sunday is more similar to the rapture than any other two great events in the Bible? More similar. Remember, Jesus resurrected. And that's what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. And the rapture is a resurrection of multitudes of people. Can you imagine what a day that's going to be? What a day. Not only is there a rapture, but there's a going up into the sky, an ascending into the clouds. We're going to go up like he did and ascend into the clouds. And we're going to disappear up there in the heavenly sphere, just like he did. But he is coming back, and we are coming back. He's coming back, and we're coming back. You know, you can actually preach on the similarity between the rapture and the great day of Easter, as many call it. I don't usually call it that, but for the sake of communicating, today, this Easter weekend, this Resurrection Sunday, is a celebration to me. It's a celebration to me. We're going to have church out in the parking lot tomorrow, and I can preach I can preach as loud as I want to. I started to say it and it cut off, but I'm pretty loud. And sometimes in church, I get too loud. And they have to tell me, Brother Chambers, you're just too loud. Well, I'm sorry. I've been that way a long time. And this old volume of mine don't seem to quieten any as I get older. And I'm grateful for that. What a volume I've got. I mean, I could just blow this thing right here, but I'm not going to do that. But tomorrow, out in the parking lot, I'm not going to need no speaker. I can easily preach and be heard for half a mile. And so tomorrow, that's what I plan to do. And so anywhere around this church, if you're late and have to park in the back parking lot, that's okay. You'll be able to hear me. Roll down a window. If it rains, just bring an umbrella, or you can hold it out the window over your head, okay? Bring two if somebody on both sides. Okay, please remember that. That's important. Don't think it's going to rain. But, but if it does, I want you to be prepared. And then, of course, everybody has to stay in their car. You say, what if it gets full, crowded, and somebody parks on the street down a little ways? Well, I'm going to leave that up to them. I just know that my restrictions is to tell you to stay in the car. Now, we will have a building open with bathrooms, and we'll let people go one at a time. We'll even have offering plates out on the side of the road where you can put in an offering. You know, you got to pay your bills. You don't mind that, do you? Somebody says, you're going to talk about money? Just to pay the bills. This is a church, and we are a little slack, as you would understand. But God's going to take care of us, and I trust him 100%. Now, many wonderful truths of the rapture. That's what I want to talk about. Many wonderful truths of the rapture. And they are so numerous. I won't even get started real good, but I'll make a headway and tell you about the wonderful truths of the coming resurrection, the coming Easter day for everybody that's ready to go in that rapture. And I'm telling you, there is so much exciting about the Bible and about the rapture. It's overwhelming. It is the next great moment after the church. It is the next moment after the finality of the church. Now, I'm praying the church will have a Holy Ghost revival, because the church is in the state of the Laodiceans of Revelation 3. You see, the church in Revelation 3, the Laodicean church is number 7 of 7 church ages, 7 churches, and right after the Laodicean church is the rapture. I mean, absolutely, you can't separate it. The book of Revelation is the one chronological picture of the end time events. The book of Revelation is the one, only in the Bible, chronological outline of the coming end times. The book of Revelation is just God's plan and God's outline. You would think the world would be crazy about Revelation, but they're not. Simply because the devil has done everything in his power to steal the great truths of the rapture. Oh, how the devil hates the idea of the rapture. If there's any reason you ought to love it, the devil hates it. If there's any reason you ought to love the rapture, it is, the devil hates it. I'm telling you, the devil really does hate the rapture. And he's done everything through the ages to destroy it. But he can't. He'll never be able to destroy it. And very soon, maybe today, we're going to be part of it. And it's going to occur. It will occur shortly. I was praying the morning, early in the morning, and it struck me that the rapture was just right on hand. And I got so excited. I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost just flood over me with this excitement of how close we are to that glorious rapture. It is at hand. It is near to the door, I'm telling you, and the devil hates everything about it. He's never hated anything so much. The resurrection of Christ, of course, and then our resurrection. Oh, but it will be soon. It will be soon. Now, we are living in the Laodicean church period. And you cannot read Revelation and see the chronological picture, one event following the other in the exact order as God gave it to the church. God gave it to the church. very plainly through Jesus Christ, by John the Apostle, by the work of the Holy Ghost, a marvelous book, and it is the chronological picture. If you'll accept that and start reading the book of Revelation with that understanding, it'll come alive. It will come off the pages and get a hold of your heart. I declare it to you with every bit of my heart, and I believe it with all that I am. Now, we're going to go to St. John chapter 14, which is a picture so similar to where we are. It is so exact where we are. And then to Matthew 24, another similar picture to where we are. You cannot read these verses of the Bible and not see how evident they point to this moment when the rapture is going to take place. I'm excited about it. I really am. But I don't want to go too soon because there's so many I want to see get ready. Somebody says, I want to go today. Well, I want to go today if it occurs today. But I sure would like to see a Holy Ghost revival first. And we're going to see one. It's coming. I believe it will be first. I believe it will be before the rapture. I don't have, I can't prove that. God didn't say it had to be in that order, but he did make it plain, the Laodicean church and then the rapture. So there's going to be a lot of lukewarm people when that rapture takes place. There's going to be a lot of lukewarm people that are going to miss it. And you're going to realize suddenly one morning, one evening, one midnight that you've just missed the rapture. And it's going to be the saddest moment of human history. It's going to be the saddest moment of human history. And I pray that this broadcast will stir you to the core, and that you won't let the sun set today, that you're not on fire, full of the Holy Spirit of God, and ready to go in that glorious rapture. Would you consider that? Would you consider finding your place to pray this afternoon, and pray until you know the fire is burning on the altar of your soul, until you know that without a moment's hesitation, you could ascend at the trumpet sound and meet the mighty Lord in the air. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. I'm crying out for you to be ready. I really am. Now, it is so important that lukewarm people understand Brother Chambers' passion for you. I'm not fussing. I'm not trying to say negative things. I'm just telling you, if you're lukewarm, he says he's going to spew you out of his mouth. That cannot be but one thing he means by that. You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to miss going up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, you just read it for yourself. Go to Revelation 3, and then go to that seventh of the seven churches, the church of Laodicea, and read that church letter, and then go immediately, instantaneously, the next word after you leave that church, John sees a door opened in heaven. Now, you can't put it in better order than that. That's how God did it. I didn't do it. I mean, he was so absolutely determined to give you the right pattern that there'd be no reason for anybody to miss the pattern that God had laid out in front of you. Now, let's go to John 14. This is apropos. This meets every one of your needs. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I'll guarantee you there is so much trouble listening to me right now. Some of you are so afraid and so shaken in your very being. You're almost afraid to open the front door. I understand. I do understand. I'm not being critical. I'm just describing the situation as it is. It's an awesome hour. It's a fearful hour. It's an overwhelming hour. The media has magnified it many times over and over. I can hardly listen to the news myself, and I'm an old timer. I can hardly listen. It makes you feel awesome. It makes you feel almost beyond measure. And so don't listen to much of it. I really don't, because I know it's going to turn out right. See, I know how it's going to turn out. It may not be pretty at every step of the way, but it's going to turn out right. and God's in control. And the devil may think he can control where this world is headed, but he's a liar and the father of liars, and he cannot control it. Let not your heart be troubled. I beg of you, don't let your heart be afraid. Don't let it be troubled. You put your faith anchored in God. If you now have no faith in God, I can understand. I really can. But if you trust God, if you've been washed in the blood, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, if the fire is burning on your altar, then you have naught to fear, oh, but fear itself. Get ready, get ready. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, in the Father's house already, Jesus said, there were many mansions. It is a place of magnificent beauty. It is a place beyond description. There is nowhere on the face of this earth that even holds a light to what's up there in the city of God. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what was he talking about? I have all confidence. He was speaking of the city of New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem did not exist at this moment when Jesus said these words. That city had not yet been created. That city was yet in the mind of God, but not in reality. And so Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to get it ready. I go to create that city. You say, is it ready? Well, John saw it. So yes, it's ready. John didn't just hear it. He saw it. He didn't just hear about it. He actually saw it. The Bible says that God took him to an exceeding high mountain. Why did he have to take him to such a high mountain? Because the city is 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles square. And so John could only see it if he was taken to an exceeding high mountain. See, he had to go to a mountain that was probably 10 miles high, maybe 10 miles and probably 100 miles from the city. And then he could look from that 10-mile height and see that city all the way to the top. That's the only way he could have seen it. Because a city 1,500 miles high, you can't see that standing down at the foundation. Or you'd see up to maybe, a mile. I don't know how far you could see standing right under the foundation of it. But the way God took him to a exceeding high mountain, maybe as much as 100 miles high. We don't know, but we know one thing. He could see the city. He could see the city when he got where God took him. And so the city has been built. It is ready. Hey, can I tell you something about the city? This is a redemptive city. Now listen to me. This is a redemptive city. This is not just a beautiful city. It is a redemptive city. This city has been created by the Redeemer. This city has been created after he was crucified and after he was resurrected. So when the Lord created this city, he created it as a redemptive city. It was a outworking of his shed blood that he had offered on the cross of Calvary. You got to understand, the cross of Calvary does more than save you. In the morning, I'm planning out here on the churchyard to preach on the 7 major reasons for the cross of Christ. The 7 major reasons. I never preached that before. And it got a hold of me yesterday morning, and I was so thrilled. And I keep getting other major reasons, and this is one of them. Another major reason. The city had not been built, but the cross of Calvary enabled him to build a redemptive city for the redeemed people. And so the devil has never put his his feet in this city. The devil can no more walk down those golden streets. No way. That city is redemptive. No sin will ever be there. No sin will ever walk in those gates. No sin will ever have any entrance there. Are you hearing me? This is a redemptive city. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare it for you. I'm going to get it ready. I'm going to create the city. And he got back to heaven at the resurrection and he created this marvelous city. I mean, oh, it is overwhelmingly breathtaking, beautiful beyond. You see, every foundation is a different decorated with a different major stone. The top level is the amethyst. I like to think about the amethyst level because I kindly whispered to God that I'd like to have my mansion up there on that 12th level. I'll probably haven't earned that, so I'll be somewhere. I don't think there's a basement, so I guess I don't have to worry about the basement. That may be where I would be if there was one, but I presume there isn't one. The Bible would have said it if there was, so I don't have to worry about that. I'm just messing you. But I want to tell you, friend, that city is breathtaking. That city is breathtaking. So he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go. Now notice that, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, you got to hear that. I will come again. So Jesus went to heaven here in this glorious scripture. He's resurrected. He hadn't, of course, been crucified here, but he's crucified shortly. And then he resurrects on this wonderful day we celebrate right now or tomorrow. And then he was there and seen of them for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he disappeared. They watched him as he went up into the clouds, all from Mount Olive. They watched him and he disappeared in the clouds. We'll read that in a little bit. But right here, he disappears and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he could have come a long time ago if he wanted to, but the Father is patient for the precious fruit of the earth, James 5 and 7 says. And so he hasn't come yet, but he will. It's at the door. No doubt, I don't think anybody could even question it. It's at the door. We see the signs of the Antichrist and his evil action right now all over our world. Has there ever been a plague that touched every country? I heard the president say the last time 151 countries. I presume that's a record of anything ever happening in all the world being moved by it. I can't answer that question. I don't know, but I can tell you he's coming again. I'm telling you, he's coming again. I will come again. Now, he's not just coming to show up in the sky. He says, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, where he am. He was preaching at and talking to them in this great text, John 14. But then he will come out of heaven. So that will be where he is. That will be where he is. And that's where he will come down from. And that's where he will take us back to. Okay, you got to understand that. That's very beautiful. And he said it. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, you know where he is. He's up there where he prepared the city, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And where I am at that time, he will receive you unto himself, that where he is, there you may be also. That's what the book says. Now, all of that's so beautiful. It really is breathtaking. I don't know how often you read John 14, 1 through 3, but you ought to read it occasionally. It's full of excitement. I'm trying to quieten down for tomorrow. I want to save my voice for tomorrow so I can preach out there with all I got and be heard. I hope all these neighborhoods around here will hear me. It may be the most wonderful day of our history. It may be that numbers of people will feel it and get under conviction and will come walking down the street, over the walls, through the woods. We got all of that around us, and say, I want to pray through. And I've already told one of my men, I want three or four of you with masks on, so you can go up to somebody who's over somewhere in the grass praying, and you can pray with them, and you will be covered, and they will be covered, so that you are protected when you pray with them. I got an 83-year-old brother, wonderful man. He was here when I came. I've been his pastor over 50 years, and he's going to try to come tomorrow and stay in the car. Did I say 83 or did I say 93? 93. They're protecting him. him. Boy, they are protecting him. They won't let nobody in the house. But they thought the idea of bringing him out for a little break and sitting in the car and hearing the sermon through the window would be a break for him. And it really would. That's up to them. I won't push them. But I'm here to tell you that I hope you'll come, because what I'm going to preach tomorrow is going to be good. I mean, the many reasons for the cross, the many excitements about the cross, the many wonderful. Do you know there could not have been a resurrection until there was a cross? Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus could not defeat death until he first died for the penalty of death? He had to earn the right of defeating sin in the body. He had to earn the right of defeating the limitations of this old man because of sin. He had to earn that right before he could be resurrected. And so the cross was necessary for there to be a resurrection. That's one of my points for tomorrow. So you're getting a little interest in the curve of what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, folks, we're talking about some exciting things. So we're talking about wonderful things, and all of this is for God's honor and for his glory. Man, I've got so many scriptures to read, and I can't get through the first one. I want to read it again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. That's you. Do you hear that? I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Not maybe. He's coming, brother. You say, is he really coming? I'm telling you, he's coming. I will come again and receive ye unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. That's the cross. Oh, church, aren't we thrilled to have such wonderful truth and such promise? Let not your heart be troubled. You don't need to be all shook up. You don't need to be all scared to death. You say, Brother Chambers, I'm not right with God. Then you ought to get concerned. Well, I can understand why you would say you're afraid. If you're not right with God, get right with God. Boy, will that change the equation in your life. Will that change the way you feel about this horrible virus? Will that change the way you fear what's going to happen to you? Get right with God. Get right with God. I'm telling you, it will change everything. Now, I want to go to Matthew 24. I haven't read these scriptures in so long. I'm talking about on the radio, out to you. It's very important, very important. So let me try to read a little bit to you. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Oh, man. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, you got to hear this. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. Now, where you find these kind of people? These are people who preach Jesus. They preach Christ. They come in his name. Notice that? They come in his name. They come in his name, saying, I am the Christ, saying Jesus is the Christ. They're preaching Jesus. I mean, look at these liberal outfits, rock and roll concerts. Look at all these places that are calling themselves churches. I mean, there's a church for every vice today. A church for every crowd. I mean, it's a motorcycle church and a cowboy church and just a rock and roll church and over and over and over and so they're coming in his name. They're saying he is Christ, but they're deceiving many. Notice that. They're deceiving many. That's an easy statement to understand. I hope you understand it. If they don't preach this whole Bible, if they don't preach all the... See, it isn't what they preach, it's what they don't preach. That makes a difference. See, they can preach Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. He is saying it's not what they're saying, it's what they're not saying. That's exactly what this verse does. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, but shall deceive many. See, that's the new church of this Laodicean generation. They say Jesus. They say they're probably having a resurrection service today. They're probably talking about him being alive from the dead. They may be saying everything that's right about Jesus, but they're not saying what's right about being born again, about being made a new creature, about the soon appearance of the rapture. They aren't saying enough about a godly lifestyle, a pure lifestyle, free from fornication, free from all kinds of wicked sins and godless living. No, they're not preaching that. Oh, but hear me, church. I'm calling on you to hear me, church. It is so important that you hear me and understand where we are and what day we are, what day we're living, and that you be ready with all of your heart, okay? That you be ready with all of your heart. The door is open for Jesus to come right now. He could come today, friend. I'm telling you. So let's read on. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. One of them's going on in Washington right now. The political intrigue and anger and fighting and all the. It's amazing to me the kind of things that can enter into a political discussion. I mean, more interest in money for the thing that I like and the thing that I want than the business of God. It's a shame. It's sad. It's overwhelming. But I'm telling you, it's occurring. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars, but be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence. Look at that. There shall be famines and pestilence. There are famines right now taking place in many parts of our world. Can you imagine what people are doing, where this virus has hit places in the world where they have no policies like America has? There's no surplus money to send everybody a check. You just don't realize what a blessing you are to live in America. It's almost overwhelming. It's almost overwhelming. You know, and we're going to survive it, and we're all going to eat, and you know, I'm promising you, God, with the help of our nation, making a way for us. But much of the world don't have that, and can you imagine when none of the world has that, and all the pestilence and all the darknesses come like a storm? Many nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence. Study that word, pestilence. We're seeing one right now. This virus is a pestilent. It is germs. It is a pestilent. And it was created apparently in a meat market in China, where they serve all kinds of meat, food, a dog and bats, they tell me, is a big thing they eat over there. And they name some of the things that they eat. And somehow in that meat market, this virus found its life. Maybe a mutation from a dog, a mutation from a bat. I don't know. Nobody really knows. But we know one thing: it's a pestilence, and it struck the whole world. And the world and the nations are shaking to their eye teeth. They really are. Earthquakes. There's been numbers of earthquakes even during this pestilence. Earthquakes are so frequent now, it's just, it almost makes no impact when another one occurs. All these are the beginning of sorrows. What you see right now is the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Did you know that China has a record of destroying Christians and destroying churches and killing people that belong to Christ? I've got articles right now that's come off of the news of some of the horror that they have against Christians. And that's happening in many parts of our world. You just don't know how bad it's happening in many parts of our world. So already fulfilled. Already fulfilled, they shall, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Oh boy, do we have that in America. Offended, hate one another, despise one another. Democrats against Republicans, or Republicans against Democrats. I mean, it's horrible, horrible. what is taking place in hatred. Our nation is at up with it. Our world is at up with it. And right now, you know, you got a fight over churches being free to continue having church in this crisis. I'm obeying the law. The Bible tells me, and I read it this week afresh, to obey. But I'll meet them at the polling booth in November. I'll guarantee you that. And that's what every one of us ought to do, is meet these people at the polling booth and make sure we educate ourselves and know how to vote. And because iniquity shall abound. You see, I'm giving you scripture that's really kind of overwhelming. Most of you have read this if you have any real acquaintance with the Bible. But many of you have never read it. And because iniquity, that's sin, that's dark sin, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's Laodicea. See, this scripture and the Laodicean lukewarmness go together. This scripture and the Laodicean lukewarmness go together. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, what a day. Oh, church, are you listening to it, Brother Chambers? I'm bringing you what I know to bring you to try to help you understand the wonderful things about the rapture. And to warn you, there are many doctrines out there that deny the wonderful truth of the rapture. I meant to talk about them, but I decided that I would talk about the wonderful side of it rather than the dark side of it. We need encouragement. We need excitement. We don't need to be beat down with somebody telling us how wrong we are. You know if you're right or wrong. Get in the Bible. It'll tell you. And this gospel. Oh, I love this. And this gospel. Notice that. He didn't say any old gospel. He said in this gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom. Are you preaching that, preacher? This gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, of Christ, the saving power of the blood, the saving. Oh, I've been lately studying about the blood on the altar in heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ on the altar in heaven. The altar in heaven is covered with his rich royal blood. And the Bible says that the seed is indestructible. The seed of our salvation is indestructible. I read that this week and, oh, brother, did it bless my soul. It really did lift me and give me courage and enjoyment and hope. Oh, hear me when I tell you that and that's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, okay? We're not saved let me look it up. I go to quote it. I've been memorizing on that one this week. I hope you do that with me like I do. I love to memorize the Bible, and I get in there, and I go to memorizing, and over and over, it blesses my soul. I got to read that because it is so powerful. Listen to me. Listen to me. Where do I go? Here I am. Hallelujah. I'll be there in just a shake. I've got to read it to you because it's so wonderful. It is so rich. It blessed my soul. And here we go. Being born again. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That's the blood. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Woo! Hallelujah. So, the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Now, I want to take you to Acts 1 and 9. That's such a beautiful picture. I've kind of got some of my stuff messed up here because I had not marked that scripture, didn't know I was going to use it, but it's wonderful, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That's the blood, and that's the word of God. That's everything Jesus represents. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The blood Jesus spilt on the cross was not licked up by dogs. It was gathered up by the Holy Spirit and the angels. And Jesus ascended before the Father and offered himself as that final and wonderful sacrifice. And that blood was put on the altar of God in heaven, where it's right now throbbing with the life of divinity, the life of the divine Son. And it's saving anybody that will run to the cross. If you'll run to the cross, you can be saved right now. If you're under the cross, you can be saved right now. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 1. You know, the wonderful truths about the rapture just kind of overwhelming. Let me open the lines. If you would like to give me a call, I have the phones fixed where I can take calls here. So give me a call, and I will be glad to put you on and let you ask me questions. I love answering questions. I used to be with Open Bible Dialogue when we started 49 years ago. Can you believe that? 49 years ago. I would get so many calls. I could never get to all of them. It was just exciting. Everybody calling. But people don't love the Bible now like they did back then. I don't think. I think that's the problem. And I'm telling you, that Bible is still just as real as it ever was. It's alive. It cannot corrupt. It is perfect and pure. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Acts. Call if you like to call. I think I can hear you. I'm trying my best to get it while I were here. That's one of the problems when I'm on radio or taking calls is I can't tell when I get a call unless I watch. Now, if I brought late this year, but I don't want to do that right now. I've tried to get past that. My wife was always right beside me. When God gives me a new wife, she'll want to do it. I believe. Oh, boy. I believe she will. That'll be wonderful. I know that. But let's go. And verse 9 of Acts 1. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While he spoke these things, and they were watching, suddenly he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Is that not breathtaking? Is that not breathtaking? I'm telling you, it is to me. It's just plain old breathtaking. They received him out of sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, they watched him go up. They watched him ascend out of their sight. Can you imagine the beauty of that sight? Can you imagine the excitement of their hearts? They watched him ascend out of their sight. And while they watched him steadfastly as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, the same Jesus, the same Jesus that is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go away." As you have seen him go into heaven rather than go away. As you have seen him go into heaven. Now, we're going to see him come. As he went up, he will come again. Can you say that? As he went up, he will come again. As he went up, he will come again. As he went up, he will come again. It's just that plain. It's just that absolute. He will come again. As he went up, he will come again. And it's beautiful to read these great truths. As he went up, he will come again. But in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven, then return they unto Jerusalem. I tell you, do you understand what a day that's going to be? Do you understand the excitement of such a thought, of such an idea that the Son of God's going to come in these clouds around us and suddenly we're going to ascend up into heaven to meet him in the air? And what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. Now, do you believe this? Does anybody out there have a question that just boggles your mind? You can't find the answer. You know, you say, Brother Chambers, is it pre-trib or mid-trib? It has to be pre-trib. The reason it has to be is because you see the Laodicean church in the closing words of Revelation 3 and the first words of Revelation 4. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's look at that. That'll be a good place maybe to close on. Revelation chapter 3 and chapter 4. I love to study Revelation. It is a book that is really overwhelming to any believer who really wants to know what the future holds. It really is. Now, Revelation 3, I'm finding it right here. Revelation 3, go if you would unto the angel, this is verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Listen to that now. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, now listen now, so then, because thou art neither cold, thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, Jesus don't say things just to sound, powerful. He don't say things just to give you truth. He don't say things just to excite you or to anger you or to discourage you or to scare you. He says what is right. He speaks the truth straight from his lips. He is the truth. He don't just speak it. He is the truth. Nothing but truth can come out of his mouth. And he said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, there's not but one answer to that. Now, if you can come up with a different answer, call me and tell me. What did he mean when he said, I will spew you out of my mouth? Well, something's fixing to happen. Something is about to happen. The very next verses tells us about it. He doesn't change the subject from this letter to the Laodiceans until he says, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. After this, talking about the church, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, I'm a plain preacher. I always just preach it real clear and real plain and do my best to stay right in the book, right in the words. And here it is, plain as it can be. He's talking to the Laodicean church, the last of seven churches, the closing era of the church world. And he says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And he goes on and describes all of that and calls on them to return and repent. Calls on them to return and repent to him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. Listen to this. That's in this same verse, in those same scriptures. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set with my Father in his throne. To him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. What do you got to overcome? You got to overcome that lukewarmness. Got to overcome that indifference to the things of God. Are you listening? Are you stirring up your soul? Are you finding your place to pray? Are you finding your an altar to get in and stay there until God opens up your mind and your heart and your being? I'm calling on you. I'm calling on you. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for this rapture. I want to go up with you, every one of you. I don't have a person out there. That's probably some enemies that may be listening. You probably already cut me off. I'm not sure. But whatever or whoever, I want you to know I want to go in that rapture with you. I want us to go together. I don't want nobody left here. I really don't. I don't want nobody left here. Now, let me try to quieten down a little bit here. I'm giving you such truth that it's just really overwhelming. And so if you don't understand about this Laodicean church, this lukewarm church. You know what the word Laodicea really means? It means the church of mob rule. The church where the mob rules it. Nobody, the pastors aren't allowed to be pastors. They rule by the mob. And if the mob around the church, they don't do what the mob says, then they got to move out and go get them another building. How many churches in Charlotte has that happened to since I've been in Charlotte? It ain't just one or two. I know of them. Decent, good people. I'm not telling you where truth is or where it isn't. I'm just telling you that we live in the day of the church run by mob rule. Nobody wants a pastor who gets in the pulpit and pastors that church. They want a pastor who gets in that pulpit and yields to the pressure of the church, the pressure of the best money givers and the best money people in the congregation. And if he doesn't do what he should do, he might find the doors barred to him when he comes on Monday morning to enter his office. Now, I'm telling you, we are living in that kind of an hour. We are living in a dark hour. And if you ever got yourself right with God, the Church of Laodicea, run by the mob, run by force of people, run by committees and groups of individuals. Some call them elders, some call them deacons, some call them the pastor's committee. I don't know, all kinds of groups. There's nothing wrong. A preacher needs wonderful men who are standing beside him, standing with him, fighting with him, praying with him, standing in the altar with him. I got some. They love to pray. They love to pray. They seek God's face. And I love them. I love them. We don't have any difficulties between us. I've had a lot of people with difficulties, and I understand that. But I'm telling you, if ever God's men have stood for the truth and proclaimed it with all their heart, this hour really demands it. This hour really demands it. Satan hates the rapture, and he don't want you to go in it. He wants you left here when that rapture takes place so he can make mincemeat out of you. He wants you left here when that rapture takes place so he can get you and make you compromise or make you wish you were dead or do some of the most cruel things to you can imagine. Let me tell you something that I have preached for years. For years, I've always preached there is a mid-trib rapture, but not the first one. It's the second one. The first rapture is the pre-trib rapture, before the seven-year tribulation period. But there will be a rapture in the book of Revelation chapter 7. And that's in the middle of the tribulation period. And that is people who missed the rapture, missed the pre-trib, and got themselves straight with God. And the Bible said, wash their garments in the blood of the Lamb. Go read it. Go read the book of Revelation 7, beginning with verse 11, okay? Go to your Bible, Revelation 7, verse 11, and read about the tribulation saints. The Lord even says to John, whence come these? And John says, I don't know. But one of them stood up and said, these are they that came out of great tribulation. Now, I'm telling you, folks, the great tribulation that's coming, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. I'm telling you, I wish I could get through to the multitude of people who are about to miss the rapture. If I could get through to you, if I could help you, give me a call if you want to ask me a question. If you want to take me to task. I love it when you take me to task. I don't preach anything I can't prove. I don't preach anything I can't stand on with a backbone of a saw log. I do not. I will not preach something I can't stand on. If I preach something I can't stand on, I'm going to tell you this is a possibility, but I'm not sure. So that you'll know I'm only giving you an idea that maybe I'm toying with. I think with my mouth sometimes. I'm thinking about something. If I don't be careful, I'll say it while I'm still thinking and I haven't thought it through. And sometimes that gets me under criticism, and you can understand that. But, everybody needs some time to think. And sometimes when you're with people, the best way to think is kind of open it up for them. Let them hear it. And then say, now, I'm just opening up to you a possibility. I want to tell you something, church. Now, you listen to me when I tell you this. There will be a mid-trib, and it will be for those who got saved after the rapture. It will be for those who washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. For those whom the Antichrist slaughtered like they were pigs in a hog pen. It'll be for those who suffered intensity. In fact, they will declare in Revelation 6, Lord, how long before thou avengest of these people who have been so bitter against us? You're talking about bitterness and darkness and ugliness like there has never been. Oh, I've been preaching that for so long. I've been telling you over this radio, it will get so bad, you'll think that the tribulation period has already started even before the rapture takes place. We're really right there now. You look around right now, what's going on? It looks like tribulation period, except it's not yet bad enough to really fulfill the tribulation hour. But it looks bad enough, and I can understand some people think it's bad enough. But I'm here to tell you, what's happening right now is mild compared to what will happen after that great pre-trib rapture. I'm trying to stir you up and get you on your knees. What if I'm wrong? And you can be a little more lax about it. Well, would it not be better that I tell you enough that gets you on your knees and gets you on fire and gets you burning with the zeal of God, burning with the excitement of the cross, burning with the glory of God? Is that not better for you? I think it is. I think it is. You say, well, what if you're wrong? I've just helped a lot of people get ready that wouldn't have been ready, I guess. That's what I hope for. But I'm not wrong. Because the Bible is just plain. The Bible, you know, verse by verse. Remember, I said that Revelation is a chronological. You know what I mean by chronological. It occurs event by event by event by event. And the book of Revelation lays out how those events will occur. That's why you have the door open in heaven in chapter 4 at the end of the Laodicean church message. Immediately, John has the door open in heaven, and he goes in that door, and what does he see? He sees the throne of God, and what does he see else that's so breathtaking? 24 elders. They're no longer church elders, they're heaven's elders. And they are sitting on thrones around the mighty Lord, sharing with him in the great events of Revelation. Oh man, the Bible is so wonderful. It really is. Now, I would like to have two or three questions. Okay, grab a phone. Somebody grab a phone. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Would you call real quickly? Let me hear your question and let me try to answer. And maybe you just like to call and say hallelujah for Resurrection Sunday. Oh, you know what? We ought to be excited that Jesus is, he is resurrected. He is alive and he's coming again. He is resurrected, he is alive, and he's coming again. It will not be long. It will not be long. Now, while I'm waiting, the time is fastly slipping away. I want to talk about church tomorrow out in this parking lot. I would like to invite people that's never been here before. Your church is not having service. They're not doing anything. Maybe they're on the internet. Well, you can get that live later. You don't have to hear what is being streamed when it's being streamed because it's being archived. In every case that I know of, it's being archived. So you can see it a little later. And so come hear this sermon on the seven great wonders of the cross. The seven great wonders of the cross. I don't think I could preach something more excited than these seven wonders of the cross. I got my Bible and my outline already laid out, dug through the Bible. Hallelujah. And I'm excited, and I'd like for you to hear it. It may be if you're unsaved, you would like to get saved. You say, can I get saved on Resurrection Sunday? It wouldn't be a better time in all of history for you to get saved. You can get saved right now at home. Get on your knees and get yourself right with God. Repent of your sins. When you repent of sin, I'm here to tell you, he's going to save you. When you repent of sin, he's going to save you. Now, when I say repent of sin, that means you turn from it. You don't repent of sin, just say, I'm sorry, and keep on doing it. Repentance means you turn from it. It's absolutely a 180-degree turn. You turn completely around. You change courses. You change directions. You turn your life over to Christ Jesus. You believe in that blood. You believe the blood he spilt on the cross can wash away every sin you've ever committed. Did you know there is nothing that can rid you of sin but the blood of Jesus? Did you know there's not one thing on the face of God's earth you can give enough money to buy the church that you go into? You can give enough money to completely bankrupt your bank account. You can give everything you got. You can sell your home and give it. But until you trust in the blood of Jesus, your sins will be there just as much as they were to start with. It's got to be the blood. The only way your sins can be washed away is by the blood. It is the one way that one man or any man's woman's sins can be washed away. I'm telling you, we are at that hour that God wants to save you. Let me just spend a little time dealing with your heart. Listen to me. Listen to Brother Chambers. You say, you're too old. I don't want to listen to no man. Well, I would say the men you ought to be listening to are some of the old men. who've been there and who've walked the course and who've never compromised, who've never backed up. You can't lay a finger on me, okay? I'm not bragging on me. It's all by God's grace. But you can't lay a finger on me. I belong to Him. I belong utterly to Him. And that's all by grace. I'm nothing. I am the least of nothing. Some things I'm expecting God to do for me and with me are bigger than me. And I don't deserve them. But I promise God He'll get every ounce of the credit. He'll get the glory. I don't want the glory. I just want to be with Him. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I've been serving Him 68 years, my dear friend, and it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. And He's given me such a miracle. You can tell as I sit here and preach to you and teach you that God's given me healing that's beyond me, beyond my worth. I deserve none of it, but it's all wonderful. He is a God of grace and mercy and love and kindness and tenderness. All the things of the Lord are beyond measure wonderful. They are beyond measure wonderful. I want to get a song on here to bless you, my friend. If I can bless you, it'll be my joy. Because I'm telling you, we're getting close to the end. The coming of the Lord's at the door, and I want you to get ready. Now, anybody, I'm holding this on the beginning here. Holding this at the beginning, and then I'll play for you. I want you to know, since I found Jesus, my life has been so wonderful. And when you give your life to Him, your life will become wonderful. I want to pray. Father, I've been praying more than ever, and yet not enough. And I'm crying out for my audience, wherever they're hearing me, whatever part of the world, whatever country. Father, I pray that they'll get in the book of Revelation. And they'll begin to study, reading Matthew 24, reading, if possible, St. John chapter 14, 1, chapter 14, 1 through 3. I pray, Father, that those listening to me will get in their Bible and let this Bible speak to them and get themselves ready. Father, what a blessing it would be if somebody got saved today and could call me and say, "Brother Chambers, I just gave my life to Christ. I'm going to give you my cell number in a minute. I'd love to hear from two or three people who get saved right now." Just get saved. Get on your knees. If you're close to a place that you can kneel, get down before God and tell Him you're sick of sin, if you really are. If you're tired of sin, and you really are, and you want to trust the blood, you can. Father, I pray for them. I'm weeping for somebody. Somebody's on the verge of saying yes, yes. Somebody's on the verge of turning around their life. Somebody is thinking seriously about how they used to be on fire, and they need to get back on fire so they won't be a part of the Laodicean crowd. Father, get a hold of them. Get a hold of every person listening to me. Let them know if they're not on fire with the Lord, they cannot go in that rapture. He made it plain. He made it plain. Neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That is the Bible talking. That's not Joe Chambers. Father, I pray for these people. I cry out for them, God. Oh, I cry out for them. Oh, God, I cry out for them. I want somebody saved today. I want somebody saved today. I want somebody saved today. My heart is weeping for somebody to be saved, Lord. My heart is weeping for somebody to come to Christ and let Him come into their life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name now, as I try to bring it to a close, I want to tell you that tomorrow, 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte, starts 11 o'clock, morning worship, Easter worship, Resurrection Sunday worship. We'd love to have you here. We'd love to have you here. I pledge to you, you don't have to give a penny to come. Just come and freely, and we will love you, and we will be your friend, okay? Now, do remember tomorrow, and at 6 o'clock tomorrow, I will be doing an evening sermon on the internet. In the morning, we are going to do our best to get it on Facebook, even while I'm doing it outside. We got that in the works, but I hate to announce it because I want you to be here in the parking lot, either the front parking lot full, the back parking lot, up and down the streets. You can hear me from out of the streets. I promise that. We're going to have church. We're going to pray the Holy Spirit comes down in this place and makes Himself real. That's what I'm yearning for. The Holy Ghost will come down in this place and make Himself real. Nothing will make me more happy than that. I love you. I love you. Will you get ready? Will you get ready? Oh, I think I'm there. Yes, my song is there. Is my song there? Is my song there? Let me look and see by the grace of
the denomination.
Oh, boy. Somehow I missed it, I guess. Sometimes I do that. Do you ever miss it? Do you ever miss it? Do you ever miss it? I hope we all make mistakes. Sometimes these things just don't do like they're supposed to do. And I'm praying that this one will do because I want you to hear this song. I really do. Well, come on here, John. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That he may be glorified. That he may be exalted. I love you. I love you. Don't hear music. Just worship. Come be with me tomorrow. I love you. It's going to be a joy to have you. I pledge to you, it's going to be a joy to have you. Bless your heart, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen and amen and amen, and God bless you. I didn't get it to work, but that's okay. God bless you.
Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea.